Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross, it's the Crusaders Coaches Show, presented by JMB Financial Advisors and Stephen Lavallette, Holy Cross Class of 1978. Here's your host, Dick Lutzk.
And welcome to the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. And Kyle Carter, I'll tell you right away, back at our studio, we're getting a little bit of a delay on the return coming back to us. Maybe you can correct that. In the meantime, we will try to do our best and move along as best we can here from the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. I'm Dick Lutzk, and we have an hour to talk about the Crusaders. We're going to talk Holy Cross sports for the next hour. We'll lead off with Athletic Director Nate Pine. We'll talk with Associate Head Women's Ice Hockey Coach Katie LaChapelle and co-captains Tori Messina and Sam Girard. And we'll finish off with basketball coach Bill Carmody and sophomore guard Caleb Green, all during the course of the next hour brought to you by JMB Financial. And we're happy to have you with us. Nate Pine, nice to see you. Welcome to the Holy Cross Coaches Show.
Dick, good to be here.
I hope you and Stephanie had a nice Thanksgiving.
Wonderful Thanksgiving. We actually snuck away for a couple days and got some warm weather, and now we're ready to come back.
I was going to ask if you got to the Pacific Northwest, but I don't suspect that's where you got the warm weather.
No, we snuck down to Florida. My brother and his family live down there. So
Pacific Northwest is a tough trip to make every once in a while. I'm sure you like to get there when you can.
We sure do. That'll be Christmas break.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, and I know that one of the things we want to talk about are student athletes at the College of the Holy Cross. They are athletes, to be sure, and they spend 4 years on the fields and in the gym doing what they do, but certainly they are here for another reason, perhaps more important. When you talk about the long-term reason that they're at Holy Cross is to be students. And once again, the Holy Cross Crusaders have done well in the classroom. For the 10th year in a row, they are eighth in the nation with an overall graduation rate of 98%, according to the graduation success rate report, which has been released by the NCAA. It marks the 12th straight year in which the Crusaders have posted a graduation success rate of at least 97%, and I'm sure that everybody at the school is proud of that.
It really is. You know, we talk about it, and we recruit to it. As we admit students and we admit student-athletes, we talk about how important the academic piece of it and how serious the academics here are on our campus. So it's great to be recognized, you know, at the lead. We're consistently in the top 10 in the graduation success rate, which is one of two measurements that the NCAA uses. So GSR comes out in the fall, and then in the spring they announce APR, which is another academic progress rate, but another formula that goes into how well our student-athletes are doing academically. So to be in the top 10 of 350-plus Division I schools is exactly where we expect to be. It's quite a testament to the work that these young men and women put in the classroom. It's also a testament to our professors that care so much and work with them, because that's not easy. We certainly have missed client time and class time, and we have other commitments and certainly things that take time away from the classroom. So it shows you how serious our students are to achieve at that rate.
Holy Cross, one of four Patriot League schools to be in the top 20, which says a lot for the conference.
It does. Actually, the Patriot League was the highest rated conference in graduation success rate this year, and we're constantly up there in both GSR and APR as well. So it's a core tenet of the league, and it's a core tenet of Holy Cross.
22 of a possible 26 Holy Cross athletic teams achieved a perfect 100% graduation rate. That's impressive.
That's what it's all about. At the end of the day, you come to Holy Cross to get a great education. You're going to graduate. You're going to have a chance to play Division I sports at the highest level possible. And some are going to have a chance to play beyond Holy Cross. But everybody is going to get a degree here and go on to be very successful.
I guess the current phrase is that they recruit for the 4 years, but it's really a 40-year recruiting situation, because you look at what's going to happen once you get out of school.
That's exactly right. And the strength of our alumni network really is the backbone of the education. They know at the end of the day, if they recommend a Holy Cross kid, they're going to look good for that recommendation. that young man or young woman is going to come in and be successful in their organization. And at the end of the day, it benefits each other.
The data used to calculate the graduation success rate is from the four-class aggregate of entering classes from 2008 through 2011, for which the NCAA has completed sport-by-sport figures. The average graduation success rate for all sports at the NCAA's 352 Division I institutions stood at 88%, which tells you just where Holy Cross stands.
Exactly, and that's ticked up over the last couple of years. Now, Dick, I got to tell you, I'm a state school kid, so you lost me as we started to get into the formula there, but I caught up at the end. But no, the NCAA as a whole has made a priority on academics, graduation success rate, and academic progress rate, which is progress to degree. And both of those have gone up nationally while Holy Cross has maintained their position in the top 10. So exactly where we should be.
Let's talk a little bit about what makes Holy Cross so successful. What help do the athletes get during the course of their time on Mount St. James?
You know, it's really a special place because our academic support at Holy Cross is institutional. We don't have an academic support unit sitting outside in the athletic department. So our academic support is the same as a normal student in our general population. So that shows you that our student athletes are very conscious about the time they put in, the studies that they have. Their time away from practice is spent studying and doing homework to make sure that they can maintain that rigorous thing. I think when you look at when we talk about academics, it's important to talk about it nationally, but it's also important to recognize just how well our students are doing compared to the general population here on our campus. Last year, of our 700 student athletes, we had a cumulative GPA of 3.23. So our students are absolutely getting it done in the classroom, and this is a tough grading campus, so that's really saying something.
That has to be a great selling point for the coaches when they're sitting in a living room of a home of a prospective student athlete. To put those numbers in front of the parents and say not only are they going to get to play top-notch Division I sports at a school with a terrific reputation, but they're going to come out with something really worth something.
And that's exactly what we talk about. And we talk about the proof being in the results. At the end of the day, we've every term that I have been at Holy Cross, we finished with a 3.1 or better as a GPA cumulatively over 700 student-athletes. So we've got a lot that are helping that. But I'll tell you what, we've got very few that are below that, and it's pretty incredible.
I'm going to shift gears and talk a little bit about football, but leading into football, one of the Holy Cross football players, senior linebacker Ryan Brady, selected to the 2018 Academic All-Patriot League football team announced by the conference. It marks the second straight season Brady has earned Academic All-Patriot League honors. To be eligible, a student athlete must have reached sophomore academic standing with at least a 3.20 cumulative grade point average and be a starter or key reserve, and he certainly was a starter and key player on the team.
Think about that, a first team all league kid, all academic, you know, and those stories, you can go up and down our rosters in multiple sports and you have similar talent and similar kids and what they're doing in the classroom. It's really incredible. It's something that we pride ourselves on. It's something that we pride ourselves on institutionally and within the athletic department, and you're absolutely right. Our coaches are out on the road talking about that when they're in the home with the young man, young woman, and their parents. And I'll tell you what, the young man and young woman know that there's validity in that. Mom and dad really care about that. It raises Holy Cross in the ranks of how the colleges stack up very quickly.
Well, we talk about Ryan Brady and his success on the field and in the classroom. Let's go back to the field and the success of the Holy Cross football team. When does a 5-6 record feel like you won a conference championship? What a finish.
You know, when you reel off four in a row, yeah, that's definitely some momentum. You know, I'll tell you what, I was very pleased with this team. The great job the coaching staff did, really from the start of spring ball on through fall camp and throughout the season, because we played hard in every game. We had a really tough schedule. When you look at how that stacked up nationally, we played a difficult schedule this year, and we challenged ourselves. But our kids were in every game. There was no quit in them. We had a number of come-from-behind victories. I'll tell you, for an old guy like me, they gave me some heart problems. But at the end of the day, I was really pleased to see the fight in our team and really to see them get over the top and get some good results there at the end of the season. I think that builds really good momentum into recruiting, which is picking up right now for our coaching staff. But that also builds a lot of momentum into the work that they're going to put in the weight room and in individual work here this winter, getting ready for spring ball, because once you have a little taste of that success, you want to have it a lot more often. And I think there's going to be a lot even better buy-in and a lot more work put in the offseason this year because of it.
One thing I got to really admire about Bob Chesney during the coach of the season as I got to know him better week after week is his optimism. It never waned. It never, ever waned.
No, it's contagious. And that's why, You know, even when we got down in some of those games, you could see that there was no quit in the coaching staff, and the kids fed off of that. And then after doing it a couple times, our kids felt comfortable there, even playing from behind, because we knew we had the talent to come back and win those games, and it was great to see us reel off four in a row.
I didn't feel so comfortable half the time.
You and I both, we were a little bit worried, but you know what? You look up and down the sideline, and everybody was into it, and everybody had confidence, and that's what it's all about.
How about that Georgetown game? Biggest comeback in the history of the program, and it's a storied program with a lot of great comebacks over the years and a lot of great teams that pulled a lot of great upset wins over the years, but the biggest comeback in the history of the program.
Yeah, I'd like to play from out front for all of next year. That would be just fine with me. But, you know, to have the turnovers and have things go against us the way they did and for us to continue to chip away at it, and that's what we talk about. You have to be resilient if you're going to be a successful team. And so to have that confidence and keep chipping away, to see us get over the top there in the final minutes of the game was really impressive.
Seven Holy Cross football players earned all Patriot League honors. Announced by the league, senior offensive lineman Brett Boddy, senior linebacker Ryan Brady, senior defensive lineman Teddy Capsis, and sophomore offensive lineman Brian Foley named to the first team, junior running back Dominic Cozier, senior wide receiver Martin Dorsey, and senior quarterback Jeff Wade received second team honors. Nice to see them recognized.
Absolutely. You always want to see, especially the seniors, really go out on a high note. So I was pleased for them. I'm glad to see a couple underclassmen in there. That's something that our younger guys are going to be working for and wanting to build on. So the nice thing we've seen, though, is a lot of younger guys have gotten playing time here this year. And so as we've seen in basketball, and I'm sure you're going to talk about with Coach Carmody a little bit later, getting that experience as a freshman or getting that experience early on as a sophomore can really pay dividends down the road as your team matures.
And how will that impact recruiting? As you mentioned, they're out on the road right now. That four-game winning streak at the end, the optimism everybody feels, it's contagious. It'll be felt on the road.
It will. We've got a great story to tell. We've got a great institution. We've got a coaching staff that understands and is absolutely bought into what we're trying to do here. So that's infectious. I think that the other thing is we've got a coaching staff that knows our strengths and weaknesses a lot more now after having a season like this. And so they really are able to evaluate talent and understand the folks that we're trying to bring in and where we're going to be helped the most. So that's going to be a key to this year in year two now, having a full recruiting and playing season into the recruiting cycle.
How did you see Coach Chesney develop during the course of the year?
You know, I think is exactly what we knew we had. He's been successful every stop because he's a great communicator. He's optimistic, and he has buy-in from his student-athletes. So as you look at this thing, you knew what you were getting in Coach Chesney. He delivered on all counts throughout the season, and I think that we finished on a really high note, so I'm very excited about where we're headed.
Let's talk about some of the other sports. The volleyball team finished strong. First ever win over American. Coach Melissa Beatty-Smooths had a great finish to the year. They beat American for the first time 3-1 November 3rd. Claire Honan setting a Patriot League record for hitting percentage in a single match. Talk about the volleyball team's improvement over the course of the year.
I think seeing us go 7-9 in league, that's the best we've ever done. We were in every match. I was really pleased. You know, you talk about enthusiasm and buy-in. We were there every match this year when I was in attendance here at home. So I was really pleased to see where we're headed. And another team where you're playing a lot of young student-athletes, you know, Claire included. You know, she had that great game. Claire's a sophomore. So we've got a lot of good days ahead of us in volleyball too. But it was seeing a team that, you know, we had a coaching change, really come together and really start to buy into the vision of what we were trying to do. To see them have more success than we've ever had this year, I think really bodes well for where we're headed as a program.
I became more familiar with the volleyball game myself this year, becoming a high school official. But for those of you who have not watched a volleyball game, it's fun to watch. It's a lot of action and a lot of excitement. They're great.
It's high-paced. It's a fast-moving sport. Rally scoring, I think, has helped it. There have been some rule changes that have really moved it along and made it more exciting. Dick, I didn't know you were an official, though.
High school, yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. You know, officials take a lot of heat time to time.
We do, and it's never warranted. Never warranted.
It probably changes your broadcast a little bit. You give the official a little bit more of the benefit of the doubt.
If you notice, I'm a basketball official, too, so you'll notice that during my broadcast.
On top of
the volleyball team's success on the court, they've been active with their service to the community. Last year, they committed 571 service hours and had 100% participation to community service. What's this type of commitment to the service mean to the student athletes at Holy Cross?
You know, I think it's a tenet of our institution. When you look at Holy Cross, service men and women for and with others is part of our mission. And so we own that at Holy Cross. And when you look at across the NCAA, when they do community service hours, we're always at the top, and volleyball has been at the top in their sport, which is a tremendous testament to them. But it's something that is really important to us at Holy Cross. It's part of their student-athlete experience. It's part of what our coaches recruit to. So I think that that's part of the well-rounded education that you're going to get here.
Women's basketball, we'll move on to that. They've got a two-game winning streak. They play tomorrow night at Vermont. A couple of wins over Albany and URI. Lauren Manis scoring her 1,000th point, second fastest in Holy Cross history.
Yeah, that's saying something, isn't it? You know, preseason player of the year. She's a tremendous talent. It's great to see her having so much success early. She played as a freshman, played well, and has continued that throughout. So I think the future is very bright there, and some pieces around her on that lineup. We're going to be a formidable team, and I can't wait to see how we proceed here into league play.
Avery LaBarbera was the Patriot League Freshman of the Week, Rookie of the Week this past week. And
back-to-back, 2 weeks in a row now.
And junior center Megan Swords named the C.K. Smith Superior Crusader of the Week for competition from November 19 through 25. She averaged 15 points and 5 rebounds per game while leading the Crusaders to that two-game winning streak. So Bill Gibbons has some pieces to work with.
He absolutely does, and starting to gel here. We've had a little bit of injury, so if we can get healthy, I think it's going to bode well. And like I said, I'm interested to see how we continue this stretch here before the Christmas break, but then really excited to see how we get into league play.
Now the Hart Center, the Luth Athletic Complex, complete. The project is remarkably beautiful and functional. Are you seeing it do what you expected it would do at this point, or has it exceeded expectations?
No, it's one of those things. It takes time. We've been selling a vision for a long time, and then you go through the construction phase, and people know that it's happening, and that builds excitement. And all of that is important in the recruiting process. But until you're in the door and you're using it, you know, it's one thing to look at the pictures. It's another to see the steel. But when you're actually in there and you feel that space and you know what it does for you, yes, we're seeing benefit from it. But I think we're going to continue to see probably more benefit over the next 2 to 3 years as we develop our student athletes using that in addition to recruiting to it.
What's next on the docket?
There's always additional ones. Right now, institutionally, we're in the middle of a capital campaign. And so the next two projects that are going to finish off the capital campaign are Performing Arts Center, and then we have a recreation center. So those right now are the focus. But as soon as those finish up, we've got a couple athletic projects that we're going to look to work on pretty quickly.
One thing I did want to mention, the Crusader Nation magazine is now out. It came to my house just yesterday. I meant to bring it with me. But on the cover, you've got it mentioned there? You've got it there, do you?
I don't have it with me, but I've absolutely seen it. It came out this week.
Yeah, and a tribute to Barry Parenteau. They had the retirement ceremony for him last year. I didn't get to see it, but I saw the video of it. It was quite a scene, quite an emotional send-off of Barry Parenteau, 41 years on top of Mount St. James.
He had an incredible career. Parenteau is a name synonymous with Holy Cross swimming. His father before him, and Barry took it over and really ran the program to new heights. But we did that this fall. We did it on an alumni meet, and we had so many of his former players come back. We honored Barry. We will forever have that alumni meet named after him moving forward. But it was the cover of the Crusader Nation magazine that you're talking about actually has all of those former players on the deck with him. And it was really special. It was some great stories, a lot of camaraderie, but, you know, just shows you how many people that program has touched. And really, that's a testament to Barry and the greatness that he was able to exhibit here.
And before we let you go, Bill Carmody is going to be joining us a bit later on. You were telling me you heard that the second half of the Albany game the other night, the overtime win. They won 3 games in a row. You were nervous, as I was nervous, but they pulled it out in overtime.
Yeah, as they say, all's well that ends well. And I'll tell you, I've been really impressed with this team because they've been in every game. And in fact, you know, even the tough games that when we were on the road at Michigan and Providence, we've looked really good. I'm pleased to see us playing up to our potential. You know, the young guys are stepping in. Jehiva is really a game changer in what he can do in the middle of the floor. And so I think the sky's the limit for this basketball team. I'm really excited to see them, like the women, getting on a bit of a roll here in the out-of-conference season, because really where it counts is when you get in behind that break and into league play. If we can have some momentum into that, we could be really dangerous.
A lot of excitement on Mount St. James. I can't wait for the next football season to begin.
It's a lot of fun. We've got a lot of teams trending in the right direction, so it's a great time to be a Crusader.
Nate Pine, the athletic director, joining us on the Holy Cross Coaches Show. We're at Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the College of the Holy Cross campus in Worcester. We'll continue with the topic will be women's ice hockey with Associate Head Coach Katie LaChapelle and the senior co-captains joining us, Tori Messina and Sam Girard. That's next as we continue with the Coach's Show on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI and on Facebook Live.
You're listening to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show with Dick Lutsk on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI.
And we are back at Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester. I'm Dick Lutsk, and we're going to talk women's ice hockey with Associate Head Coach Katie LaChapelle joining us, along with senior co-captains Tori Messina and Sam Girard. And Katie, the move up to the Big East, no one expected it to be a miracle, and it hasn't been, but of course, it's a learning process, and you're learning as you go. And I see the girls smiling here as we talk about it. But tell us how it's going so far in terms of getting adapted to the Hockey East atmosphere. Let me put your mic on.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
It's been, it's been a great, great learning experience. I think for everybody involved, we knew it was going to be tough. We didn't really know exactly how it would go as the year went on, but we knew that. If we kept working hard, we'll be competitive, and we've been competitive in every game. Maybe the scoreboard doesn't show it, but every game's been back and forth, and we've gotten some chances. So we're pretty happy with how we're progressing.
You've coached at a lot of different levels. Has this been one of the more interesting coaching experiences that
yeah,
you've had?
Yeah, it has. I think it's just different. Just coming in and being able to experience that and the. To see them grow, even though they might not see how much better they keep getting, or they might not realize how much better they keep getting, for us as a coaching staff to see that and try to tell them that and hope they believe it. But we're definitely getting better, and it's awesome to see and kind of see the program growing from the start of us being in hockey.
I saw Peter Van Buskirk at the Hart Center this afternoon, and we stopped and chatted, and he echoed what you're saying right now about the optimism, the encouragement, the excitement that the girls are feeling.
Yeah.
Forget the record. I mean, it's something that it is what it is. And you got to learn. You got to take it as it comes, and you're moved into a new league. It's Hockey East, one of the premier conferences in the country. You're playing top 10 teams coming up over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
It's a challenge, and the girls are accepting the challenge.
Yeah, very, very much so, and I'll challenge somebody to find a more mentally tough team than our team in college hockey this year. You know, you go out and you play those games every weekend, and then on Monday you got to get back at it and the same thing, and you don't know what's going to happen that weekend. But you know, they come every day ready to work, and they work hard every day, and they ask whatever we ask them to do, they're doing. So that's tough to do with your record.
Let's talk about some of the little accomplishments that you've experienced during the course of the year against. Harvard, 3 goals for the first time this year in the game. Yeah. Talk about that game and how that developed.
Yeah, that was great. And I thought in that game we just kept getting better. We played pretty sound. Structurally, we're pretty good. You know, little things here and there. But our systems, are very, very good structurally. And we just kind of kept going at them. And we actually won the third period. So that was kind of a goal that we set towards the end. Obviously, we come into every game wanting to win the game. But sometimes as that game starts going, we change the goals. And I think just when they got out there, and we don't quit. And I think that's one thing that we've never seen them quit once in practice or in a game this year.
You had a lead against New Hampshire in the game for a while. That must have been a pretty heady experience.
Yeah, no, it was great. we've had a few leads this year. And I think part of that is just every time you get a lead, just learning that new experience of, okay, now there's a little bit of pressure on us. When we're down a goal or two or three, there's a lot less pressure, and it's easier to play a little bit more freely. But when you're leading, there's a little more nerves to it, and making sure, you know, you don't want to make any mistakes, and learning how to deal with that, you know, mentally as well as, you know, in the physical game is a big thing that we're working on.
You're getting good contributions from some of the freshman players as well. How do you deal with preventing them from getting discouraged? I mean, it's they want to win. Obviously, we all want
right.
to win, but knowing that they're in a process to elevate the program up to Hockey East, mm-hmm. how do you keep them moving forward?
I think we try to talk about it a lot, and we try to find the positives all the time. We've got, you know, these two and another senior captain, and that whole senior class and junior class. I think. I mean, we're not in the locker room. We're not hearing all of those things, and they're taking care of all those things. And so, we're very fortunate to have great leaders.
Carly Major leads the team with four goals. Tell me about her play so far.
Yeah, she's been great. You know, I think we knew just watching her last year and the year before, we knew that she could probably come in here and contribute pretty well. But I think her biggest thing is over the summer, I think she just worked really hard to get herself in shape. She's got great skill. But when you step up to this level, it's a completely different thing being physically. And I think she really took that to heart this summer and really got herself ready to go.
Emma Lang, second in Hockey East with 26 blocked shots. That's an impressive number.
Yeah, she doesn't worry about getting
sacrificing her
she
body.
She took a good
huh?
one the other day,
yeah.
too. I think she took two in one shift. But, yeah, I mean, that comes, I think, you get one person that blocks a big shot, and next thing you know, you're going to have 15 blocking shots. And I think that's something we've tried to talk about since that first game of the year, is just making sure you're blocking shots. It's huge.
It doesn't get easier. At number four, Boston College, November 24th. Number five, Northeastern, on November 30th. And number nine, Providence, on December 7th. Mm-hmm. All of these quality teams, they pose a challenge, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah. We've had the tough first half. I think we've played yep. three or four other teams that were at some point in and out of the top 10 already. So we're ready for it. You know, I think we've been kind of trying to concentrate on ourselves and making sure that we're doing things the right way, and then hoping that we can catch some breaks against some of those top teams.
Tori Messina is a senior from Hingham, Massachusetts. Sam Girard is a senior from Dedham, Massachusetts. Tori, how's it going?
It's good.
Move that mic up a little bit on you. There we go.
Sorry.
Okay. That's good.
It's good. It's definitely been difficult and different than we would have expected. Obviously knew it was going to be a challenge, but we say all the time, we meet on Tuesdays with our coaches, and we just keep saying that, at the end of the day, the team is an awesome group of girls, and we just want to really hang on to that regardless of the scores. And we're trying not to focus too much on the goals against, but more on the little victories, such as winning the third period or blocked shots or, in general, just scoring. So it's been good. Difficult, but good.
Sam, I would imagine picking each other up has been an important part of your role as a senior yeah. this year.
Yeah, definitely. I think what she was talking about, it's just great to see that on Monday in the locker room, like after a tough weekend and after continually having tough weekends, like everyone is so ready to go. And even today we had a little battle game, and we're just so competitive, and we just forget about what happened, and we're ready to like get better every single time. And it's great to see that for us, because it feels good to know we're doing our job and keeping everyone up. So
how do you see your roles as captains of a team moving up to Hockey East this year and keeping the players in a positive frame of mind?
Well, I think it's important that we bring our experience to the table. Although the past 3 years have been different, it's important just to sort of keep the energy high. There are definitely days when people are, you know, frustrated and whatnot. But at the end of the day, I think the three of us are trying our best to make sure everyone is positive and focused, and it has not been a problem so far. So it's difficult, but it's rewarding sometimes, even when we're not winning games. Like Katie said, we won the third period against Harvard. We won the third period against BC. So it's nice to see something pay off.
I would imagine it's important to keep the group together, keep the bonding of
yeah.
the group together,
yeah.
going through what you're going through.
Yeah, I think it's good. Again, like she mentioned, our senior class is very strong. We, as freshmen, came in as, I'd say, pretty strong leaders, and we had a big impact on the ice. So I think that influence, and a lot of the underclassmen know that, and we do, I think we know what we're doing. Even as captains, I think that really helps that. I just think us as a senior class are doing a great job, so it's nice.
Let's get a little bit of information on both of you as far as your major. What's your major?
I'm a psychology major.
Yeah, I probably asked you this before. What are you going to do when you graduate?
I am working at Fidelity Investments.
That's going to be the job?
Yes.
Yep. The lifetime job?
I don't know. We'll see if I crash and burn, but hopefully not.
How about Sam?
I'm a psych major, education minor.
And
no job yet.
No job yet? What's the hope?
I don't know. I really enjoy working with kids, so maybe going to nursing or something like that. More school for me. That's in the future.
Katie, I've got to believe that their role is very important this year. As seniors, again, with the underclassmen coming up, moving up into Hockey East, the leadership that they have to provide has to be very significant.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why people are ready to go all the time, and why the culture on our team is I think, pretty unbelievable. I mean, it's tough. It's tough every week to go through the games that you're going through and come out with that attitude, and that's not because of us as coaches. That's because of how they're leading in the locker room and how the rest of their seniors are leading.
What's your career at Holy Cross been like aside from hockey?
It's been amazing. I always think like how lucky I am to be here and to meet the friends that I have. And the school's tough, definitely, but rewarding, just like sometimes hockey can be. But, yeah, would not change a thing no matter what happens this season. If we win 5 games, if we win 0, it's been amazing. And it's crazy to think that we have 1 semester left.
Lifelong friends. So the time flies. Time flies by, doesn't it?
Definitely.
How about you,
Sam?
I love it, too. I love Holy Cross and the location. I mean, it's close to home, so family is always there. I've met lifelong friends and my roommates and stuff, even through hockey or not through hockey. And we've just made the best of it. I don't really like thinking about that it's coming to an end, so this question's tough. But
the 4 years took about 10 minutes, didn't it?
Yep, yeah, that sounds right. Yes.
Well, wish you the best.
Thank you.
Great
Thank
role
you
models
so
for the team.
Thank you.
Katie, they're great examples of what Holy Cross is all about.
Absolutely.
Thanks. Good luck the rest of the week.
Thank you.
All right, we'll continue. We'll talk basketball with Bill Carmody and Caleb Green of the Holy Cross men's basketball team as we're on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center. We continue on Sports Radio 1440, WEEI, and Facebook Live right after this.
Now, back to the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440, WEEI.
From Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross in Worcester, I'm Dick Lutz. We continue with the Holy Cross Coaches Show, and we close out talking men's basketball with the head coach of the Holy Cross men's basketball team, Bill Carmody. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Wonderful.
Good. Flies by, doesn't it? It sure does. You had 3 wins in a row going into it. That must have made it pleasant.
Yeah, it was very nice. You know, we had 2 tough losses against Providence and Michigan, and then we came back, and I thought we played, you know, very well the next 2 games, like very well, and played well against Albany for most of the game.
Most of the game. The last 10 minutes of the game, things kind of went a little helter-skelter. What happened?
We got to talk about that right
now.
No, away.
Let's go right back to that game. We'll talk about it. It finished good. We'll get to the good part at the end.
Fair enough. Yeah, Albany, we just, you know, I don't know, maybe we lost concentration. I'm not sure. And, you know, you're playing a team at any level on their home court, and there are going to be streaks. And they went on a streak where, you know, we held them in check in their shooting, and then one of their guys really got off, started making some pretty tough shots, and we were missing some shots. Some of them were good, and some of them, you know, our offense didn't generate the shots we wanted in the last 6-7 minutes.
But in the overtime, they regained their composure. They controlled the overtime from the start, and it was a nice win to come back after having Albany come back at you to go away with the win. I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was nice. It was just good to see the guys come together because we were all sort of – we were unhappy in the timeout, you know, when the guy made a shot to send it in overtime and then just regroup nicely.
We've talked in the past before about strategy, coming down the stretch with a 3-point lead as time's winding down, and there is a sequence that you like to go through given a certain circumstance at the end of the game, to foul or not to foul when you have a 3-point lead. What's your thinking on that?
Well, I don't know how many people are listening, but if I tell you my theory, then they'll, you know, adjust their stuff. But
tell me your theory anyway.
Okay. Well, I thought we should have fouled, but we wanted to foul at, like, just under 8 seconds, 7 or 8 seconds, and you know, the guy drove, and it was about 9 seconds. So it was in that area there where we weren't quite sure. But we made a mistake in coming off our players. We should have just given them a layup and, you know, gone from there.
But the overtime, what was your thinking going into the overtime? Were you concerned with the tempo of the game going? When Caleb hit that first shot in the overtime, it seemed to take a little pressure off of everybody.
Yeah, well, he hadn't scored in 6.5 minutes, so that definitely took pressure on him. And he didn't hit too many shots during the night, so I was very happy for him and for us that he knocked one down.
He's going to be joining us a bit later on. He'll have a chance to rebut a bit later on during the course of the program. 4 wins, 2 losses. The 2 losses to Power 5 conference teams, Michigan and Providence, leading both of them at halftime. You've told me before that a coach doesn't know what he has in November. We're nearing the end of November. We've got a game coming up tomorrow night at Harvard, the last game of November, then we go into December. Do you know what you have with this team so far?
Well, you know, I don't think we've really established, you know, a bench, you know, a solid bench yet. We've been basically going with 7 people, and I'd like to go 8 or 9. I tell you the truth, I think we're playing, you know, pretty good basketball. I've actually enjoyed watching the team. which you never do as a coach, you know, during the game. But the ball's moving around nicely. We started the year off with a few, like 15 turnovers a game, 14, 15. And lately it's been 5, 6, 8, you know. So I think there's a real improvement in that area. And, to your question, I think we still have a ways to go, but I think we have established the way we're going to play and the way we can win.
Beating quality opponents, too. Stony Brook and Siena in the Hall of Fame tournament at the Mohegan Sun Arena to win the Springfield bracket of that Hall of Fame tournament. Those are quality wins against good teams.
Yeah, well, Stony Brook has been a surprise. I mean, they've beaten, coming into that tournament, they beat South Carolina and they beat George Washington. And then two or three nights ago, they beat Rhode Island. I think they're 5-1 or 6-1. And, it was a pretty good, it's a good team. But we played quite well that night.
We have the unusual circumstance of having beaten Siena in the tournament. And Siena's coming to Worcester in a couple of weeks to play us here. We don't usually play two out-of-conference teams twice during the course of a year, so that's something unusual.
Yeah, it's like a home and home, except it's a home and a neutral. But we were actually hoping, I was hoping that Norfolk State would win just so we wouldn't have to play a team twice. And it was a real close game to the last, couple plays. But Siena won, and I thought we played pretty well against them.
Holy Cross currently leads the Patriot League with an average of 18.2 assists per game. That says a lot for ball movement.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, I've sort of enjoyed watching them, and I think that's the way we can win. Pass the ball around. Don't worry about who scores, because I think we have some capable guys, and it can be different on different nights. And, take care of the ball. And I think our defense has been pretty good, too.
I think I mentioned during the first half of the Albany game that the ball movement was the best I had seen in quite some time. It was really fun to watch because they were hitting open cutters and making good, easy shots, which is what it's all about.
We try to stress, we have been stressing just, getting open with your feet and moving. And, if you have a shot, fine. If you don't, then pass it and cut and just see what, develops. And generally, when you play that way, you don't have to work too hard to get open shots, open looks, if you're always moving and cutting, and then you have capable guys.
9.8 turnovers per game. That's a Patriot League low as well, and I know that's an important statistic for you.
Yeah, it's major. Like I said, we had 15, 14 first few games, and then I think in that tournament we had 5 and 6, and so that was a big improvement. You get a shot off.
Defense continues to be a key, and, of course, led by the reigning Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year, Jehovah Floyd. He's playing very well.
Yeah, he's doing a pretty nice job, and as all our guys are. And I think, my coaches have done a real good job on the defensive end, establishing that matchup zone and pinpointing how we're going to win and how we're going to guard the opponent's offense.
Holding opponents to 64.5 points a game and just 29.4% from three-point range. Those are two very impressive defensive statistics.
Yeah, well, the points per game isn't, it can be misleading, because we're not scoring a lot of points. It's not like we're scoring 85 points a game and they're getting 64. But I think the way the game is played now, you must stop three-point shooters. You can't even let them get shots off because guys make tough shots. And so if you can limit the number of three-point shots that your opponent takes, I think that's real important. And, certainly if you're up close enough and you can bother them so that they're only shooting 29%, you can be pretty effective that way.
Watching the Boston College-Minnesota game last night, Fran Fraschillo was talking about the trend around the country in college basketball these days to go to the 1-2-2 trap press, which we seem to be doing a little bit of this year. What's the genesis of that, and what's the significance of that, and why do you think it's so effective?
Yeah, well, I think we did it last year, and I think the idea is that, you have a 30-second clock. Is it 30 seconds?
Yeah.
You have a 30-second clock, and so you want to make the team not waste time, but take time so that getting it over half court and getting set up. So maybe they only get to go against your half court defense for, say, maybe 18, 19 seconds. And, that's significant.
There was an article on GoHoldyCross.com posted today about Jahiva. I don't know if you had a chance to read it, but it talks about how he was 5'9 as a freshman in high school and grew to 6'5, and now he's, what, 6'8, 6'9? And he's become a real force in the Patriot League. And you mentioned when he was a freshman, when you were here your first year, he was raw, and that rawness has really grown into something special at this time.
Yeah, well, he worked hard at it. I mean, you know, if you have some ability and you're a hard worker, I've said this before, that combination, usually good things result from that. And that's what he's done. He's worked real hard at, you know, not just being a runner and a jumper, but being a real good basketball player.
Does he have potential to play beyond?
Beyond this weekend? I don't know.
Not beyond this weekend. Beyond his career at Holy Cross.
Oh, come on, please. Just
no, you don't want to talk about that?
No, come on.
No? All right, we'll move on. We got games coming up. Harvard tomorrow night.
Yep.
Against the Crimson in Cambridge, tough Ivy League opponent. Well, we've had success over them the last couple of years. What's the scouting report on Harvard?
Well, I mean, they're good. You know, last couple of years they've been young, and they're still sort of young, but, you know, it's like juniors and sophomores and juniors, really, and you know, they're very good. They're athletic. They're a good shooting team. They're well coached, and so it's a good challenge for us.
Fairleigh Dickinson on Saturday, then a couple of tough A-10 opponents: UMass and URI. URI game, of course, at the DCU Center. A chance to bring the team to the city of Worcester and the downtown and the big arena. A couple of big games coming up.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, you can't get past, sort of like skirt by FDU because they handled us pretty easily down there last year. And so, but right now we're thinking about Harvard and, you know, just getting ready to play tomorrow night.
All right, we'll take a break. We're going to come back with Caleb Green, the sophomore guard from Londonderry, New Hampshire. He'll join the table. We'll talk more Holy Cross men's basketball as we continue on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from Crossroads in the Hogan Center on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross. We're back after this on Sports Radio 1440, WEEI, and on Facebook Live.
This is the Holy Cross Crusaders Coaches Show on Sports Radio 1440, WEEI.
We are back on the Holy Cross Coaches Show from the Crossroads in the Hogan Campus Center. I'm Dick Lutz with Holy Cross head basketball coach Bill Carmody. And we're joined by sophomore guard Caleb Green from Londonderry, New Hampshire, via Proctor Academy. Third leading scorer on the team for the Holy Cross Crusaders with 9.7 points per game. And making big plays like this will get Crusaders an awful lot of wins during the season. Caleb Green, left side, down low, goes to Jahiva. Back to Caleb, lays it up and in. Give and go, Caleb Green, Jahiva Floyd. They've only done it 1,000 times in practice. That time it worked perfectly. Caleb Green got the bucket that time, and then we went into overtime after Albany came back, and the overtime got off to a good start with a jumper by Caleb.
Comes to forecourt to Grandison, right side to Austin Butler. Down low to Jahiva Floyd, outside to Caleb Green, deep to Pat Benson. Back to Caleb. Caleb to the foul line for a jumper. It's good. Caleb Green, a two-pointer, puts the Crusaders up by two in the OT.
And that was a big shot for Holy Cross getting started in the overtime. Coach said you missed a lot of shots in that game.
I did miss a lot of shots that game, but he's the one who told me to keep
shooting
them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey, I kept shooting them, and that one just happened to fall. So
that was a big shot in the overtime. That was a nice win coming back, like after Albany came back at us, and to get the win in overtime, a nice win for the team.
Yes, yes, it was very good for us, and it was good to see us pull out a close game like that. And I think it was just good for our confidence, and yeah.
Starting point guard is a freshman out of Londonderry, New Hampshire. Big rope, big burden put on your shoulders, and you handled it well. And now as a sophomore, again, on the floor in key situations for Holy Cross. What's been the key to your success?
I just try to stay positive, and I try to be the coach on the floor, and I try to lead guys. You know, I don't try to do too much, and I just try to keep us together. And everything else comes naturally, so, yep.
Coach, tell me about Caleb Green and what the role you have for him on the floor.
Yeah, I just want him to run things out there, you know.
Pretty simple.
And not just I think all five guys run it. You know, I don't go for like point guards and, you know, one or two or three, but people sort of gravitate to what their strengths are, and one of his is that he gets the ball to guys in positions they can do something, and he's very good against pressure. Defenses and just makes everyone better.
That's one of the things that has impressed me certainly early this season. Teams that have tried to press us we have been able to handle the press pretty well so far, and Caleb is a big part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, certainly as long as he gets things set up, then we're in good shape. But then, you know, when you have a press, it's usually not just one guy. As you mentioned before, you have a lot of these zone traps and zone presses and double teams. So everybody on the court has to know where they, you know, they should be and, you know, what to do in certain situations.
Caleb, what's the group expectations for this team for this year?
I mean, our goal is to win a championship. Plain and simple, and we all think we can do it. So, yeah.
Got Harvard tomorrow night. Had success over Harvard the last couple of years. What's your thoughts on having seen the scouting report on Harvard and what to expect tomorrow night?
A lot of people consider them a top 25 team, so I think it's going to be good for us to go out there and show what we can do against them. And, of course, I think we're going to come out on top, but it's going to be a challenge all the way through, and all our guys are ready. So,
tell me about the recruiting process that ended up with you coming to Holy Cross.
They started recruiting me my junior year, and Coach Carmody offered me a scholarship that year, and I visited twice after that, and I just knew it was the spot for me after those official visits and talking to Coach Carmody and all the rest of the coaches, and I thought they had my best interest and love the campus. It's a great academic institution, and my parents love that, so it's the best of both worlds.
Coach, what did you see in Caleb Green that made you want to bring him to Holy Cross?
He was a competitor, and he loved to play, and I just felt he was going to get better and better. You know, he just, when things are going bad, he just keeps going. He just keeps going. He's, you know, a hard worker, and he has improved, you know, dramatically. And although I've, you know, I think he had some tools to start with, I think there's a lot of room for improvement right now. So I just liked his competitiveness, and the fact that he loved to play. He's out there just messing around with the ball and just, you know, those kind of guys I like.
When you talk about a competitor, what do you look for in a kid? When you talk about a kid being a competitor, what stands out when you're trying to determine if the kid is right for your program?
Well, you know, I might even be overstating that. I mean, he's a competitor, and a lot of guys are, but he just, you know, he will continue to play through hard times. And As you said, you know, he missed every shot in that game against Albany. You got to bring it up again, Caleb. And then he came through, and you know, with some big baskets and nice plays. And so, and again, I like guys when I see them working out. They're just having fun playing, and it's, you know, they're imagining what they're doing out there. You know, making a last shot or driving by this guy, and those kind of guys have, especially, you know, from the guard spot. They see things, and that's just really helpful.
Is Caleb the kind of kid that wants the ball at the end of the game, wants to make that last shot?
Yeah, I mean, everyone does. Everyone does. I don't think he's any different than that.
Do you want him to have the ball at the end of the game to make that last shot?
Yeah, I mean, usually the ball's in his hands, you know, or Pat Benson's hands, and then they have to make decisions on things. But I think everyone on our team, you know, we try to get it so that everyone can make a play, make a pass. Wherever you are on the court, you have to feel comfortable. So, you know, Jahav is he probably leads us in assists, for all I know. I'm not positive, but he's a good passer. And a number of our guys can pass. And so I think that's important, because then, you know, you can't be at the end of a game, you can't just say, well, you know, just lock up Caleb. And, you know, because other guys can score, and they can also help other guys score.
Caleb, what's your major at Holy Cross?
Excuse me, international studies.
And what do you hope to do with that major when you graduate?
I'm not sure exactly with that major. I do want to be a college basketball coach as of right now, to be honest with you.
You're shaking your head, Coach.
Holy Cross degree, if you get that, and I'm sure you will. And then, you know, think it through.
You've only had 2 years to work with Caleb. Tell me what you've learned about him as a young man.
What have I learned about him? You know, I think just in the recruiting process, I learned that I, you know, comes from a really good family. I like his parents. And, you know, he was genuine. And, like I said, I knew he was going to get better because I didn't have to motivate him. You know, it's a two-way street. You know, say coach has to motivate players. But it goes both ways, you know. So when I see him come up to practice and, you know, he goes to the ball rack and gets the ball, you just feel like, okay, let's go. Let's go to work here. And so he excites you a little bit.
In the short time we have left, let's talk about the three young men you've signed to national letters of intent for next year. Drew Lauder, Joe Pridgen, and Ryan Wade. Lauder from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Wade from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Pridgen from Winchendon, Mass. And Governor's Academy. Tell us about the three young men who will be coming to Holy Cross.
Yeah, I think they're all going to be, you know, impactful. The guys that can help us right away. Both guards shoot the ball very well and compete and play against good competition. And those are the Ann Arbor guys. And Joe Pridgen is just very athletic and, you know, a really good kid and a good passer. And I just think he's going to help us just with the physical nature of the game.
4-2 so far on the young season. You like what you see so far?
Yeah, so far it's been pretty good. But, you know, it's just the start. And like I said, and we've talked about it, that you're just learning all the time here in November. What about your team? You know, how can you improve? Is this good enough? You know, why did we lose a 13-point lead or whatever it was to Albany? And how can you improve? And how can you play like those 30 minutes, the first 30 minutes, all the time? And so you just keep working at it and going at it and emphasizing the things that you think are important, like passing and shooting and ball handling. And then, you know, things will work out.
Making shots, that's always the key to it, isn't it?
It's up there.
Mixing and matching the pieces between now and the start of the conference season, is that something that continuously goes on in practice and during games as you get ready for the Patriot League?
You mean in preparation?
In preparation, or, yeah.
Yeah, well,
trying to find the right combination and the right rotation.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're definitely trying to find, as I said, I'm trying to see if I can lengthen the bench a little bit. I know that would be the best thing for us. And so, you know, I have to get some guys in there. I get some guys in there, and that's hard to do sometimes because you want to you don't want to lose a game today, but sometimes you have to lose a game today so that you can be better, you know, in 6 weeks. You know, we're trying all the time to figure out what the combinations are and how that's going to play into the start of the conference.
Harvard tomorrow night. Good luck, fellas.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us. Caleb Green and head coach Bill Carmody joining us at the Holy Cross Coaches Show. Holy Cross men's basketball will be back in action at the Hart Center this coming Saturday, December 1st at 1 p.m. when they take on the Fairleigh Dickinson Knights. Bring an unwrapped toy as part of the annual Crusader Toy Drive to benefit Big Brothers Big Sisters of Central Massachusetts and receive $2 off the price of admission. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit GoHolyCross.com. We'll be back in January live from the Hogan Campus Center here on the campus of the College of the Holy Cross with the next Holy Cross Coaches Show. I'm Dick Lutz. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Crusaders Coaches Show presented by JMB Financial Advisors, providing custom capital solutions. We hope you'll join us next time from the Hogan Campus Center at the College of the Holy Cross and listen live on Sports Radio 1440 WEEI. This has been an exclusive presentation of Crusader Sports Properties and Outfront Media Sports. Crusader Sports Properties is a division of Outfront Media Sports.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.